Woody Johnson has done a good job of staying out of headlines and everything this year. He stayed in the background, but he had to speak last week because it was the owners' meetings and there was a bunch of people with a microphone in his face. So we are going to break down Woody's comments. Always newsworthy, did not disappoint, I think. And then the reaction to those comments as well. That's going to be a big portion of this episode of Flight Plan. We'll also talk about the injuries to the team. Who's going to play quarterback on Sunday against the Bengals? And we'll get you ready for that game. So a lot to get to. Tim McMaster here, along with Zach Rosenblatt. Thanks for joining us. Like the show, wherever you're watching or listening. Welcome to the Baggage Handlers, as always. Checking out the stream on YouTube. And give us a 5-star review as well. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm good. Spent the last 2 days at the owners meetings. And I would say Woody made it all worth it. Woody was the only owner that talked to a crowd of reporters, like not even Jerry Jones. Only Woody was the one that talked to people. And
he started by saying, I have nothing to say.
I know that was the best part. But I think he can't help himself sometimes. The whole conversation before, like the PR staff had told people that he was not talking and he walks in. He kind of ignores me and Andy Vasquez, who are like kind of near the doors. And then he sees Rich Cimini, who he can't help but say hi to all the time because Rich has been covering the team forever. Before you know it, everybody's surrounding him. Rich starts asking a question. All of a sudden, everybody's asking a question. And it was a full 7 minutes of convo, which we'll get into right now. But it was, he brought some unnecessary dysfunction onto the Jets, I would say. So they've had to deal with the outcry of that. And, if it was the bye week, it could have like died a little quicker, but because they have this one game and they have this quarterback controversy anyway, and it's where we are. There's never a normal moment covering this team, as everybody who watches this podcast knows very well.
I feel like, yeah, yes, obviously his statements like stir things up and everything, but when you look at them, like none of them are surprising. Like if you had said, like, what will Woody say? I mean, this pretty much is exactly
what I wouldn't say predicted. Not surprising, like, but I would say not inaccurate. Like what he said is
right.
True.
Right. That's
Fields isn't the reason they're 0-7, but he's a big reason for it. But the surprising part was maybe it should be surprising because it's Woody, but like an owner saying these things about a current player on the roster in the middle of the season. That's the crazy part. And even just like the strongly worded way he said these things. Like I know you said you have some of the quotes, but
yeah. All right, let's get rolling. First of all, he started with hope. So let's start there. He said, I see what you see, but I see more hope than you do. I don't know if he's speaking to you, Zach, or the fan base. Not sure. You can't win with hope, but it helps. So he started philosophically. And then he got into the quarterback. I would actually get into Glenn. Let's do Glenn first because he got into that. He said, I do believe in Aaron. I've known Aaron since 1996. I was a fan. I've always been a fan of him. I see the way he handles the room. If I were a player, I would respond to him because he's the real deal. No BS. There's no second agendas. What you're hearing is the truth. A lot of time players don't get the truth. They get a lot of gobbledygook, which was the best word of the entire 7 minutes. Gobbledygook from Woody Johnson.
I mean, my favorite part of the Aaron Glenn convo is when he said he hugs him every day and tells him that he believes in him, basically like that.
Yeah. So he gets daily affirmations.
There's a lot of people being like coming up with Connor erotica based on that comment, or saying, Connor, I wonder what you're going to come up with related to this. But you know, I will say that. I mean, that's the newsiest part wound up being his comments on Fields, but the reality is the newsiest part is him pretty much endorsing Aaron Glenn, feeling like he's not the reason why things are bad, him believing in him.
Like this was like a real, I feel like this is a real endorsement though. Like you get the endorsement that inevitably leads to a coach being fired. Like we see those all the time.
Yeah.
But this felt real. Like this is legitimately like, there's no way Aaron Glenn is getting fired after year one.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say never in general with this team, but I do not think. I mean, I wrote that last week or the week before. I can't remember at this point. People who don't like Aaron Glenn were very mad at me for suggesting that he might not get fired, but he's not getting fired. Like, I don't know what you guys want me to tell you. Woody believes in him, so whether that belief turns into the right thing, like, I don't know. Whether Glenn is the right coach for this team, I definitely do not know that right now. But Woody Johnson believes it, and so that's all that matters.
Dan bought our thumbs up right before we move on in the chat. His executive assistant's name is Hope. Just leading the comment that I see more hope than you do.
There you go. That's clever. Not a Fields comments.
And Glenn, we'll get to the good stuff. Yeah. So for Fields, he said, it's hard when you have a quarterback with a rating that we've got. He has the ability, but something just is not jibing. If you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results across the league. So again, using Fields to defend Glenn. And then he went on to say more about Fields, really. But basically saying, like, I mean, if you read, you don't even have to read between the lines, but it's like,
yeah.
Woody, like Justin Fields is done.
Yeah. Also, I like that he said jibing, which isn't actually a word. I think he meant jiving, but that's what he said, so I wrote it.
That's why I quoted it that way, yes. Yep.
Yeah, and when he said, if we could just complete a pass, that would be better, basically. Like saying we can't even complete passes right now. Yeah, I mean, it's jarring to have an owner talk about a player like that. Like I said, like it was pretty harsh. Again, he's not wrong, but that's just not what you do, and it becomes something that Aaron Glenn has to deal with, has to answer questions about, which we'll get into the responses from him and Justin Fields. It makes it seem like if Tyrod does wind up being the starter, which I think he will be, I don't say that with 100% certainty, but I think he will be, and we'll get into Aaron Glenn trying to play tricks on the Bengals as if that's going to matter, but it just appears that even if he's not involved, it gives the impression that Woody is pressuring Glenn to make a certain decision because of his comments, because he's doubling down on them and all that. So, and what I'll say is, and I can say this because Diana talked about it on her podcast, Scoop City, on the way that, so that was before the meeting started. On the way out, Diana grabbed him one-on-one to give him a chance to backtrack, and he did not do it, is what I would say. And, I believe she'll probably have those quotes in her column on Saturday, and along with some other ones. She talked to him for like 5 minutes. I don't want to tease. It's not my content to tease, but I would just say that, yeah, she brought this up on Scoop City, so that's why I feel comfortable saying it. But it's how he feels, clearly. That's also, I think, why the Jets don't really like it when he gets in front of a microphone. Because he kind of just riffs a little bit, and that's when he says things like it was around this time last year when he said thinking is overrated. Feels like a lifetime ago, but that is a Woody Johnson quote that will live in infamy for the rest of time. And it's a bad look, like, frankly. Like I think everybody's laughing at the Jets right now because their owner couldn't keep it to him. So even if you believe these things, like, you just don't say that about a guy that's on your team currently. You just don't. I think everybody knows that he made a mistake there besides him. And now they have to deal with all the noise around it. I mean, I've seen people talking about this all over the place, not even just like people who follow the Jets closely. Like, it's national people referencing it, criticizing him, the team. This is the stuff that they don't need because it makes them look like a poor operation. It does nothing to help them. I said this in my story last week, like, Woody, from what I've heard, has mostly stayed out of the way and let Aaron Glenn operate the team as he sees fit. And so, like, he's removing any goodwill he has maybe from that by doing this. And, you know, Aaron Glenn's not going to say that, but it's the reality. Like, this is a bunch of, like, the whole press conference was not barricaded. I can't think of a good word right now. Taken over by questions about the owner trashing your quarterback. And so, you know, then we're going to get into this now, I guess. You know, Glenn's like, you know, parsing the words, like, well, he didn't say he doesn't like him as a quarterback. Well, yeah, he did, man. Like, we're not stupid. Like, come on. Or pretending like you didn't see the comments. Like, yeah, you did. You were at least told what he said. And, you know, it puts the coach in a position where he has to look like Aaron Glenn did at the podium yesterday, which, you know, going back and forth with a reporter. I wasn't there. I was still at owners' meetings. I don't know where his thought process was there. I mean, he just said what he was thinking, and thinking is overrated, he said. So I guess maybe that's why he did that.
And then Fields also asked about the comments, obviously, and Fields said Fields is not on social media. He said, and that he had no idea. So the reporter, I don't know who it was that started that conversation. I couldn't really tell, but, like, basically explained exactly what Woody said to him.
Yeah. I think it was cost.
And then Justin took the high road to a degree. He said, everyone knows I need to play better. We need to be better. How the offense does, I'm always going to get the blame. Now, but to your point previously, Zach, he did not exactly take responsibility. He just said, if we stink as a team, I'm going to take the blame. But he didn't actually say, like, yes, I'm a big reason for us stinking as a team.
I mean, it's he was mature in his response. Like, whether I believe he didn't see those comments, I don't know. Or the idea that the PR didn't tell him before.
Somebody didn't text him those
comments. Even if he didn't see them when it blew up. Yeah, like he heard about them at the very least. I will say the thing that was the funniest or most notable out of his comments to me was when he said he has no relationship with Woody Johnson. Not only that, but he's only met him once and it was like before a game. So at no point after you gave a quarterback $40 million did the owner interact with your quarterback.
Hey, out of the way.
I know that's kind of like more proof, I think, that it was all Aaron Glenn who wanted Justin Fields. But yeah, I mean, that was pretty funny. And he said he's not going to seek him out. He's entitled to his opinion. Everybody has their own opinions. And, you know, he talked about how his faith is what keeps him from letting this stuff get to him. But the fact that he has to answer about criticism from inside the own house, the call is coming from inside the house. Like that, it's not good. Like you feel bad for him. But at the end of the day, like he is a quarterback for the New York Jets and noise comes with the territory and he has not been good. He's been way worse. I talked about this with Connor on our other podcast, Jets Final Drive. Like whatever you thought about Justin Fields coming into this year, he has been significantly worse than even like the worst possible expectations. The last 2 weeks and the Bills game, like that's like a quarterback that doesn't really have the confidence to play the quarterback position. And I alluded to Zach Wilson. This reminded me of that to a degree where there got to a point in that 2022 season where Zach was so lacking in confidence and so rattled that he was scared to throw the ball. He was scared to take risks and he was taking hits and he was throwing picks. And, you know, he has that game against the famous game against the Jaguars where he's about to come out onto the field. He's been so bad. He'd already been benched that season. It's a game with playoff implications. He gets booed and they wind up benching him for our boy Chris Streveler. Like that was the low point. They don't really have that quite yet, but like he's been really, really bad and your owner talking about you in that way. I can't imagine it will help his confidence or maybe it'll motivate him. I don't know. And I can't even say for certain he won't start on Sunday yet because nobody seems to know. Even, you know, behind the scenes, nobody is people are scared to leak about who's starting on Sunday. I don't know. I'm stepping on like the next topic, I guess. But anyway.
Let me just go back to Glenn real quick here.
Yeah.
The one thing that's interesting about this is that like he completely defends Glenn, but yet says that it was Glenn's decision. And we've said it was Glenn's decision. Fields was the guy that Glenn wanted. So somehow that's being missed. But like Woody's not holding Glenn responsible for choosing this guy.
Yeah.
Who is clearly not getting it done at quarterback. Like he's just turning a blind eye on that little detail.
You're right. I mean, this was the guy that he wanted from the beginning. And you especially, you know, you see Aaron Rodgers playing the way he is. Like, I'm not going to litigate that. I don't think they should have brought him back. We said that plenty of times. Right. But you see that, and you see across town, you see Jackson Dart looking like a future stud, if not current stud. And he was there for the taking. Like, they weren't the only team that didn't think Jackson Dart was even a first-round pick. So, like, I don't necessarily blame them for that, but it's hard to look across town and see that, especially if you're Woody Johnson, I imagine. You know, even you see Daniel Jones, who was a free agent. I don't think he was going to come here, but you see Daniel Jones playing the way he is. Like, there are other options succeeding where Fields failed, and he was the one that they paid way more. Like, he made his contract wound up being not that far off from what Sam Darnold made, which is crazy to think about because Darnold looks like one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. So, you know, just all of that is absolutely true. Like he didn't stake anything on him because I think it was pretty low risk ultimately. Low risk in the sense that like if it didn't work, I don't think the money hamstrings you going forward at all. So I don't think the $20 million per year is as big of a deal as some people have made it out to be. But if he's as bad as he could be, you're 0-7, in which they are, and now everybody doesn't think Aaron Glenn is fit for this job. So, you know, this is also part of what happens when you give a coach who has no experience the power to make these kind of decisions. Like, he was the one making the final decisions. He was the one, you know, telling Muji who to sign. He was the one in the draft room saying who he wanted to pick. And so he wields a lot more power than a first-time coach usually does, and it has not panned out so far.
One more thing on Woody, then we'll move on. And that is kind of a message to fans, so to speak. He said, if they're a true Jets fan, that's not a question you ask. They've been at it a long time. They know exactly what's going on. I think they're the smartest fans in the world because they know what's going on. They see it and they know it. So he's complimenting the fans for being smart, but he's also saying not like that they comment, should be like blindly faithful, right? Like there's a, there's like this expectation for him that like, no matter how bad things get, Jets fans should just be there rooting for them, which I think is crap, to be honest. Like, I don't know, like if your team, like I know there's a ton of loyal Jets fans that are doing that, but that's a tribute to them and that's great, but I don't think it should be the expectation.
I would say fans do not like that comment. And a lot of them, a lot of the responses were like, I actually don't know what we're doing at all. Like, I don't understand anything.
None of this makes sense.
And he went on this long thing about how the best part about the Jets are the fans and, you know, basically explaining how
that's true.
Fandom work. Well, that's basically, and his answer was basically explaining, how, you know, it's not like this in other things, but like in sports, like the fans, they just really loved it. Like, yes, obviously, like fans are.
Yes, they're making you rich, Woody. We get it.
Yeah. And that's kind of been the response. And I know there's a lot of like season ticket holders are, don't feel like they really treat them like they love them. NYJ Matt has a recurring thing where all he wants is a t-shirt because all these season ticket holders for other teams get like all these great gifts and stuff. And the Jets give them like a bottle of wine or like a Jets themed bottle of wine or something like that. He's like, just give us like a t-shirt, anything. And they raise prices and all that stuff. And
you get all sorts of stuff as a season ticket holder.
For being like, a Jets season ticket holder.
I became a Bronx Zoo member yesterday because we're going to the zoo. Nice. And they gave you a great deal where it was pretty much the same price to become a member as it was to just get tickets. And I'm getting a t-shirt for that, Zach. So I think...
Actually, somebody in the comments said it's a coupon for half off a bottle of wine. I don't know if that's
accurate. So you still have to spend the money. You're just getting half.
So the gift is you have to pay more money, actually. But the fans have...
That's not just the Jets. I will say like all sports teams should do more for their season ticket holders. All of them. None of them do enough for the people that pay all that money.
I don't know if you saw the video that went viral because I've been sent it like by 10 different people of the fan in London. It's like a young boy who is asked like what it's like being a Jets fan. And his response is like hilarious. He says something like, I was born into it. I'm always going to be a Jets fan. It's terrible. I hate it. Like it's a cross I have to bear. Yeah, it went viral because it describes all Jets fans. It was so perfect. I feel for them, man. Like this is rough. And I felt for them before I started covering the Jets because one of my friends, Joe, who's a listener of the pod, shout out to Joe. He would always tell him whenever he would tell people that he's a Jets fan or whatever, I would always say he was so depressed. And then it's the kind of thing wherever if you tell anybody you're a Jets fan, they're like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And like my father-in-law like was Taylor just said my grandpa's season ticket holder for 30 years. He got two hats and a couple of magnets. Yeah, not great. My father-in-law has been a Jets fan his whole life from Long Island. And he goes to like this sports bar with a couple of his friends every Sunday to watch them. And this last Sunday, he like seriously debated whether it was a good idea to wear his Jet stuff out. And he did. And then when he did, like he had people coming up to him like, oh, I'm sorry that you're a Jets fan. Sorry. It was to the point where he was like, all right, that's enough. Like, so like Jets fans deal with that everywhere they go now.
Yeah.
And it's as bad as it's ever been, as far as I know. So sorry, guys.
All right, moving on from Woody. We've talked already about, like, I don't know if he's going to start, and I don't know if Tyrod's going to start. But, like, so beyond the fact that we don't know who's going to start at quarterback, how about just the decision to not name it publicly?
For a competitive advantage. As I wrote in my article, I'm not the only one to say something
like that. Like, the offense isn't going to change.
The only competitive advantage in these games involving the Jets is that the team going against the Jets is probably going to win. That's the competitive advantage. The other team has it at all times. So, oh no, the Bengals are so scared. Are we going to see Tyrod Taylor or are we going to see Justin Fields? whoever's starting is probably would rank 30th or 31st among starting quarterbacks in the NFL. If you ranked all of them, whether it's Tyrod or Justin Fields, you know, I ultimately, and I wrote about this today, it doesn't really matter who starts. Like, it's an emotional thing. Like, I don't know that anybody wants to watch Justin Fields go out there again in terms of the fans and maybe some in the locker room. I don't know. And maybe Tanner Engstrand feels like he can actually run an offense with Tyrod Taylor in there. But, like, the reality of Tyrod, and I like him, and he can be fun to watch sometimes, is, like, he's more often than not going to be what we saw last week, which is a guy who threw two picks and didn't really do a whole lot. But, like, you need to be able to at least judge this offense and judge Tanner Engstrand on merit. But the reason why it doesn't really matter in the end of the day is, like, if you look across the board at this offense, who's going to even be here next year? Neither of these quarterbacks are going to be the starting quarterback next year, certainly. Maybe Fields will be the backup. There's a chance
maybe preseason. For the first few weeks, right?
Yeah, there's a chance preseason.
Want to start.
Yeah, there's a chance preseason isn't here 2 weeks from now. Garrett Wilson's probably not playing, so he wouldn't. I would think he's not playing, so he wouldn't be there. You know, Josh Reynolds, Arian Smith, Alan Lazard, Tyler Johnson. Arian Smith's young, but none of these guys like factor significantly into any of their long-term plans, and most of those guys won't be back. The offensive line, only 3/5 are locks to be back. That's Joe Tippmann, Olu, and Armon Membu. John Simpson's a free agent. Possible he's traded. Josh Myers will be a free agent. Who knows? He's not that good anyway. So you have not all the offensive line will be there next year. And Mason Taylor is basically the only one out of the guys that are like locks to play that I can like in terms of like the weapons that I could be like, yeah, he'll play a significant role next year. So like it's that's not to say nothing matters the rest of the way. That's not to say they need to just give up or anything like that. My point more being like this whole charade about the quarterbacks, like what are we doing? You're 0-7 and nobody is scared of either of those guys at the end of the day. So just say who the quarterback is for the sake of your locker room. And as far as I know, I don't know if he's told anybody who the starting quarterback is. Justin Fields alluded to playing half the reps yesterday on Wednesday. I don't know if he was just told to say that. I don't know if that's a technicality and he split the reps means he actually just took a couple and Tyra took the rest or whatever. But like all we know is what the messages they're giving us because we don't get to watch practice. So it's just nonsense and it's pointless. And just say your quarterback is like, who cares, man?
All right, let's move. Well, before we do injuries, let's do deadline because the Jets have this game, then they have the bye week, and then there's the trade deadline. So like there's if people are getting traded, this is the last chance you'll see them in a Jets uniform. Yep. So like do you want to rank a few?
Yes.
See who the best chance.
I'm coming up with this. Like the most likely to be playing in their last game as the Jet is what we said. So here's what I came up with. I don't have 100% confidence in this and I'm not reporting anything. This is just like my read. I said number one, Tony Adams. He's already been benched and you could see them just dumping him on another team, whether it's a player swap or like a conditional seventh round pick or something.
Seventh rounder, yeah.
Michael Carter II, I feel pretty good about the idea that he'd be traded. You have Jarvis Brownlee. You're going to cut Carter in the offseason anyway. Probably aren't getting much for him. Maybe a conditional sixth or something like that, but go get a day three pick. I said number three, Quincy Williams. Quincy Williams, I think they really miss him in this defense. They have been better the last couple of weeks. Sherwood has played a lot better the last couple of weeks. Williams is going to be a free agent. I just don't see them paying two linebackers. And if you can get a fourth round pick for a guy like Quincy, who I think has that level of talent, I would do it. If it's a fifth, maybe a little more hesitant, but if you're going to lose him anyway, you consider it maybe. The 49ers make a lot of sense because they lost Fred Warner and they have the same defense that he used to run with Saleh and all that stuff. So I'd be curious about that. I said number four, Alan Lazard. I don't know that anybody's going to take him in a trade, but maybe they just, for his own sake, they cut him more than like keeping him. But that's not what I'm confident. I said number five, Breece. He's the name most mentioned as a trade candidate. I don't think it makes sense to just get rid of Breece because he's going to be free agent anyway. Like you still need to have players and run an offense. And he is still a good player, I think. And even though they refused to use him in the passing game because they decided he's an extra blocker instead. But
Which we're not even, we don't even have on the rundown, but that was today, right? Engstrom said we throw him because we needed him to protect our quarterback, which isn't wrong. Especially against Denver.
But I don't know. Also, I feel like throwing screens to the running back helps on blitzes a little bit.
So. Yeah.
But so like, are you going to trade Breece for a fifth round pick? I don't know that I would. Would you trade him for a fourth? Yeah, I would do that for sure. what will a team give up a fourth? It doesn't sound like it as of right now, but if you're a team that's a contending team and is like a piece away or something like that, and I don't have a list of the standings right now of teams who need like a running back or a boost in that way, but like I'd be intrigued by him. I think of the Eagles trading for Jay Ajayi on their Super Bowl run back in 2017. I believe they gave up a late third or a fourth for Ajayi. Like I think Brees is certainly that level of player, if not better. So maybe there'll be a team that, as we get closer to the deadline, is like, you know what, he could help us quite a bit, even if it's in a timeshare with our current running back. I said number six, John Simpson. That's not so much me saying I think he's gone, as I think he would maybe have some value as a quality starting guard in a league where offensive linemen are needed. He likes playing here. I wouldn't be surprised if they re-signed him in the offseason, but I thought of him. Quinnen Williams, I said number seven. That's more because I think he probably has the most value of all these guys they might want to trade or be willing to trade. I wouldn't trade him personally for anything less than a first-round pick. Connor said that he thinks right now he would only net a second. If that's the case, I probably wouldn't trade him. But if you can get a first for him, I think that's hard to turn down. I personally would keep him, but I could see that. And then 8 and 9, I said Jermaine and Will. I just don't see them trading those guys. Jermaine had a tweet yesterday where it was the gift from Wolf of Wall Street where he said, "I'm not fucking leaving." So I don't know if that means the team told him that or if, I don't know. But I would not trade Jermaine. I don't know how many times I can say it. Will has been a little more one-dimensional than I expected this year, but he's still a young pass rusher, so I don't think you trade him.
All right, let's move on to this game. We'll get into it a little bit. First off, who's playing, who's not? Garrett, I mean, the thing about these injuries is the bye week's coming, right? So like you're 0-7 and there's a bye week coming. So if it's a player who's really valuable to you, like it just doesn't make sense to play him, right? So that leads you to believe that we're not going to see Sauce or Garrett this week.
Yeah, Garrett didn't practice yesterday. When I get off here, they'll be going out to the practice field. Glenn alluded to him being day-to-day and, feeling like we'll see how the week goes. I just don't see them risking it with their most important offensive player. So I'd be shocked if Garrett was out there. And then the way the concussions work usually is they don't play the week after that. So I don't see Sauce playing, which would put AZ Thomas in as the starter. Really challenging matchup, but you can kind of see what the rookie's made of in a game like this. I imagine maybe you would have Stevens on Chase, or you just don't travel and you try and double Chase with whoever's on his side. And then T. Higgins is whoever the other side is covering, but it's going to be a good challenge. And I will say, I think this rookie class has been pretty solid. Like it hasn't been spectacular, but Armin Membo, I think, has shown real, real potential. Mason Taylor is probably their most consistent pass catcher, not named Garrett Wilson. We're about to find out about AZ Thomas. Malachi Moore has looked really good the last couple weeks, full-time starter at safety. Even Kiko Maui-Goa has improved quite a bit at linebackers. So like Tyler Barron's like a nothing. Arian Smith has given nothing. But the other guys have been solid. Like a draft class of solid players, you'll take that any day of the week. So Muji deserves some credit for that. No home runs.
Do you think
runs,
Sauce would have traveled with Jamar? Or do you think he would have just...
I would think, but... I don't know. Like it's
just because Higgins is so
like,
good too.
Yeah, that's the thing. The thing that like that's like the Belichick thing. Like they would double the star and like have the star corner like follow the other really good player. So like if they're going by that, then you would have Sauce on T. Higgins and have everybody else focused on Jamar Chase. So T doesn't kill you. And you figure Chase is gonna get what he's gonna get. But yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one if they don't have him. So
how about other injuries? Because Brees and Jermaine still limited in practice, but Quincy could be back, right?
Yeah, Quincy should be back. He was a full go. He missed the last four games. Kane Nwangwu is also not practicing with concussion, so he'll probably be out again. There's a couple other like role player guys, but the main ones, I think Jermaine and Brees will play. I think Quincy will play. So you're getting healthier at some spots, but not at all of them. So, but I, you know, with this game, having Quincy back is good because I think you're gonna blitz a lot and just try to get Joe Flacco on his ass and force a turnover. Like you can't, if you can do that with anybody, it's Joe Flacco. The Bengals don't have a great O-line. If the defense is ever gonna have like forced turnovers, get sacks game, like they need it to be this week. I mean, they need it to be every week, but like this is a winnable game.
Yeah, I was just literally about to say this game is winnable. If you're gonna win a game on the schedule, like this is
this and the next one are the, like the Browns game are the two that like you got to win one of them or both. So
win Ohio, I don't have confidence. Win Ohio.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the situation. We don't know what the Jets offense is going to look like. The Bengals D is not very good. So I think the Jets are going to try and run the ball a lot, as always. But I don't know. I don't believe this team's going to beat anybody until they do. So that's where we're at.
Speaking of Joe Flacco, obviously spent some quality time in New York. He was asked about that this week. He said, this was the good quote. I remember driving home on the turnpike after losing a game and shaking my head and talking to my family like, what the hell am I doing? This is not fun. But man, most of the time when I look back at those times and being in the locker room with the Williams brothers and everybody else that I got to play with in that organization, I don't know if I necessarily enjoyed how everything went on the field, but I'm super grateful for my time there. Feels like a very honest quote. It sucked playing football there.
Joe is low-key one of the best media guys. Like, I feel like people don't talk about it enough because you can talk to him anytime you want it at his locker, and he's always just kind of honest. And he has an accent of – he's from South Jersey, where I'm from. He sounds like so many people I knew from high school, so many friends and so many friends of friends. Like, he just has that South Jersey, Philly accent to him and demeanor. So I love hearing him talk. And it's funny, like, I think – early in his time as like the veteran, people thought he was a bad teammate because he was always honest about like, it's not my job to mentor these guys. It's my job to do my job. And he wound up being like a good mentor because
that's the thing. He just did it naturally.
Yeah. But he would just be, but like, he would answer questions honestly. And it's like, it's not my job to tutor Lamar Jackson. It's my job to try to be the best quarterback I can be. Like, that's what he would always be like. And, you know, he's still the way that he's still, his arm has not faded at all. Like, he still has the same arm strength. He's like weirdly a great fit with that team because you could just throw it up to Jamar Chase. But it's just crazy. He's still trucking along. He outdueled Aaron Rodgers last week. I mean, good for him. Like, he's a good guy. He's fun. I enjoyed covering him when I did. He had to deal with that awkward situation where Zach Wilson got benched and they skipped over him to go to Mike White too. Like, it was like kind of awkward for him here at times, which is probably why he wasn't especially happy. He was the quarterback in that great Browns comeback they had in 2022, where they were down 13 points in the last 2 minutes and he threw two touchdowns to Garrett Wilson and everybody was loving him. And then disaster the rest of that. I mean, not disaster the rest of the season, but he contributed to that 6-3 start that they had. So it's going to be cool to see him. I'm curious to see how he plays. But
he's had a heck of a career, man, from a guy. Seriously. That, I mean, obviously he won the Super Bowl and got no credit for it, basically, because of the defense. Yeah. And it's been a wild ride, but he has stuck around for sure. All right, picks. Let's do picks.
Yeah, let's do it. I had a great week.
Yeah, standings-wise, good job by you, Zach. Second place last week moves you up in the world to – where are you here? 15th overall. Jauncey just keeps going.
Yeah,
his best weeks, but 6-4 again, so 12 points for Jauncey. Holds on to that 4-point lead in the overall standings. So it's just been, last year it seemed like we had a new leader every week, and this year it's been Jauncey week after week. So let's go to this week's picks. These are mine, but we'll go through. Let's start with the Jets.
Yeah.
I said it last week. I'm going Bengals. I do think the Jets can win this game. Yeah. And I'm actually
the line is rising. It was big.
I thought
it was 4.5. Like, it was 4.5 2 days ago when I was on.
I would have said 4.5, and I would have taken the Bengals there. Honestly, I was a little more cautious on 6.5.
I think I did these picks yesterday. I don't even think it was 6.5 yesterday, honestly. So I wonder if it's just risen because of the QB nonsense. But 6.5 is high. Like, I'm kind of tempted to go Jets plus 6.5. For now, I'm going to stick with Cincinnati minus 6.5 because I could see the Jets losing by a touchdown, and that gets you over 6.5. But like, that's a pretty big number for a Bengals team that's not that good.
That's the thing. They're not good. Joe Burrow's not coming out here to play. I have the Chargers beating the Vikings at home. I have the Bears. I don't think they win at Baltimore, but the Bears
won 6.5
in a row. I think it's because
Lamar is probably coming back is why that line is that way, I think.
But he could be rusty. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one to pick. I said New England minus 7. The Patriots look really good.
Cleveland's bad.
I actually said New Orleans plus 5.5 because the Bucs are very banged up. They just lost Mike Evans probably for the season. I said Kansas City minus 10.5. I think it's going to be Marcus Mariota. The Chiefs are rolling right now, and they have Rashee Rice. Like, the Chiefs look like it's like this every year. It happened quicker this time where they turned it on, where they start off, everybody, is it over for them? And then all of a sudden they look like the best team in the NFL. Which
yeah, and the thing last week was like it was everything, right? Like Mahomes looked great, plus they pitched a shutout. Like they just had it all. That said, I just took Washington because of the 10.5.
Yeah, I said Atlanta -7. The Dolphins stink. I said San Francisco -1.5 because the Texans are kind of a mess right now. I think Eagles come out and whoop the Giants' butt this time. And I said Denver -3, though I didn't feel great.
Yeah, I don't know if the Giants recover from last week. I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
All right.
All right.
Closing thought?
No, I mean, as always, it'd be great if they could get a win so we could talk about that. But I'm going to Cincinnati. It's actually my first time. I'm down to single. I'll be down to four or five stadiums that I haven't covered in the NFL after this weekend. I don't know that chili. I'm going to get, I know. I don't know that I'm going to get Scott on chili, but we'll see. Terrible. Everybody says it's terrible.
Have you ever had it?
No, I haven't. No.
Have you had,
I don't have a lot of desire to, but
have you had mediocre meat sauce on pasta?
Probably. Yeah.
Well, there you probably go. You've had Skyline chili. Yeah. It's I made myself get, I went to Cincinnati a bunch in a past job, just because like we had a corporate deal with that included the Reds. So I went like 3 or 4 times a year, and I got Skyline chili once, and I was like, well, check that off. Never doing that again. It's not good. But if you're from there, it is. People that are from there love it. They just like,
I know. Whatever. I mean, maybe I'll try it just to say I did, but
yeah,
I don't like have a lot of desire to, I would say.
Maybe get it, but then have a backup plan, because you don't want to like,
I mean, it's not going to be my meal.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. As always, we appreciate the loyalty of you people. Just you guys continuing to come and check out the stream. It's awesome to see. This team's going to get a win soon. Maybe it's Sunday. We can hope. Thanks for joining Flight Plan.